But those with an evil heart seem to have a talent for destroying anything beautiful which is about to bloom. A quote by Cynthia Ryland. Hey, what's up? It's Barb here on Texas Chicks, everybody. It's been a crazy few weeks, and I'm happy to be here Thursday giving another episode for all of you guys. How's it going, Shay?
It's going good. I cannot complain. I am looking forward to the weekend 100%. I'm going to definitely be taking at least, my plan is to take at least one nap. That's my goal. How are you?
That's a good plan, honestly. It seems like you can knock that out for sure. That's the only thing on your to-do list this weekend. And I'm actually doing really good. I'm looking forward to Father's Day this weekend, have some fun stuff going on. I would like to mention that although it has been a wild few weeks for us, we have set back and have taken that little break that we had a few weeks ago like into full grasp, and we truly needed it. So thank you guys again for being patient with us. I want to go ahead and dive into today's episode though. Are you ready, Shay?
Yeah, hold on, let me stretch real quick. Let me get real ready. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, all right, I'm ready too. Real quick, I got all of my information from Wikipedia and Oxygen.com. Today, we will be talking about Anthony Allen Shore, aka the Tourniquet Killer. Have you ever heard of him before?
I sure have.
Okay, well, I'm covering him today.
Yes.
Do you like remember a lot about his case, or you just heard of him?
I don't remember a lot because my brain is currently fried from school, but I think I remember some of it, so I'm ready to hear this again. I'd like to rehear cases just as much as hearing them the first time.
Yeah, same. So, Anthony was an evil man born June 25th, 1962 in Rapid City, South Dakota. He had two sisters growing up who were both younger than him, and they lived with both parents growing up, who were Robert and Deanna Shore. Both of his parents were enlisted in the military, and it required them to move around wherever they were to be stationed, which is really common for military families. And this would end up landing them in Houston, Texas. It was noted that Anthony's parents weren't really on good terms pretty much ever. Like, they were really rocky for a lot of their marriage, and they fought constantly. And he would later admit to authorities that his father, Robert, beat him frequently, and his mother actually molested him at the young age of 13. And I don't know if that's true, but while researching, that's what he told authorities happened when he was younger.
Yeah, that's... I hate that. Like, if it were true, that's so traumatizing for a child, especially at 13, whenever you're like still developing, and that's whenever all of your hormones are starting to kick in, and it's just like, oh my gosh, that's so tragic. Even though I know he's an evil person, but for anybody it doesn't matter. That's super tragic.
Well, I can agree, and I think that if there is truth to behind what he said, I feel like a lot of times, you know, the nature versus nurture type thing, you can be groomed and over the course of time as a young child become an evil person that you may have never even would have became had you not had to go through some of the things that children have to go through sometimes.
Yes, I completely agree with you.
So his really bizarre nature began at a very young age. He became aggressive and was inclined to do a lot of different evil things. He showed antisocial behavior and would end up killing his neighbor's cat, as well as molesting several of his classmates and many of his younger sister's friends. Anthony would grow up to marry a woman and have two daughters with her, and then it would end up in a divorce. He remarried another woman, and she accused him of abuse, so she would end up divorcing him. During the court trials, his two daughters actually took the stand and told the courtroom that during their childhood, while they were growing up, their father would often beat and sexually molest and even drug them.
Oh my gosh, that's so terrible. And you also have to think, like, if his mom and his dad were actually doing those things to him, like, to him, that's normal. That's like, oh, well, this is supposed to happen. This is what I'm supposed to do. But well, it's not, yeah. Like, that's so freaking, oh my gosh.
Yes, he could very much think that, or he could be angry. And, you know, you've done this to me, so I'm going to lash out and do this to women now. Especially the mother that was molesting him. So I could see why he would grow up and target girls.
Mm-hmm.
So during this episode today, we will learn that obviously he was a serial killer and child molester. During his crimes, he was active and on the hunt. This was between the years 1986 to the year 2000. During this time, it is to be believed he murdered one woman and three children. The reason he was named the Tourniquet Killer is because in the way which he chose to murder his victims, which was very gruesome, and he would strangle them to death using objects such as a toothbrush or bamboo stick. His very first victim that I was able to find was 15-year-old Lori Lee Tremblay. It was the early morning of September 26, 1986, and Lori was taking her regular route, walking to school, whenever Anthony attacked her, in which he attempted to sexually assault her, and then, after doing so, strangled her to death. Her body would later be discovered behind a Mexican restaurant in Houston. There isn't too much I was able to find online, but she is listed on findagrave.com, and several people went on there and commented on how much they miss her, how beautiful she was as a person inside and out. Several people who loved her went to message her, message on her page, and whenever Anthony received justice, which was not too long ago, I'll talk about that here in a little bit, people went back on there to pretty much just give respect to her and say, you know, justice has been served. You finally are going to get answers for your death and for the family as well. His second victim was Maria del Carmen Estrada, who was only 21 years old at the time. She was a Mexican immigrant who was currently working as a nanny, and Anthony would attack her on April 16th, 1992. He would assault her and strangle her, and then she was later discovered by a delivery driver where she had been dumped behind a Dairy Queen in the Spring Branch area, which was discovered on the very same day. So the very same day that he did this act to her, she was found. The delivery driver stated that it appeared she had a cut on her lip and a bite mark on one of her breasts, and the murder weapon was still wrapped around her neck whenever he found her. During autopsy, they were able to determine she had been sexually assaulted, and there was DNA left in her fingernails from trying to get the killer off of her. She indeed fought back. She fought for her life. They collected the evidence and held on to it, obviously. And at this point, police investigators were connecting dots, and they were starting to believe they had a serial rapist and killer on their hands. The third victim was Selma Jansky, who was 14 years old. On the evening of October 19th, 1993, Anthony would break into her home and find her. He then would proceed to sexually assault her, and then after, he fled the home on foot. Which, I want to note real quick, he didn't strangle this victim. And I'm not sure as to why. Maybe he thought the police were going to eventually link the killings together or something like that. And he could have thought that the police didn't already know that they were looking for a serial rapist and killer just yet. But what would you think, other than the that reason, as to why he chose not to kill Selma?
I think that it's because he was trying something new, because all of the other girls, he grabbed them off the street, almost like. This one, he went out of his way, broke into her house, and then tried to do it. Like, it almost was like he was trying to change his motive, and maybe he failed. And whenever it didn't go the way he wanted it to, he didn't have enough time to kill her. Maybe there was something, like, it just wasn't the same. It wasn't what he wanted, or something. I don't know. Usually whenever a serial killer tries to change their, like, their motive, or not their motive, the,
like, MO?
Yeah. They usually fail the first time, if that makes sense. And then if they don't get it, then they try to do it again. It's like they're trying to get a different kind of rush, because the rush they were getting from before is not helping them anymore. So now they need a new something to get their juices all going again. Their disgusting yes. juices, by the way.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And or maybe like he got interrupted, but like maybe he was planning on it, and then maybe somebody came home, or he got spooked and then like fled on foot. I'm not too sure, but I wanted to point that out because that was really odd. And typically, I feel like serial killers really don't change the MO because they stick to the same thing.
Yeah.
You have a few out there that have different MOs or ways they kill people, but it's not often as sticking to the same thing.
Yeah.
So, next I'm going to talk about is around 2 years later, on August 8th, 1994, Anthony would abduct 9-year-old Diane Reballer. Diane was last seen walking to a local store near her home, in which she would end up leaving the store pretty safely, but never returned to her home in the Houston Heights area. She lived in front of a small duplex area. The police began to search for Diane whenever she didn't return home, and shortly on the very next day, her body was discovered on a dock behind a building. As they began to question friends, witnesses, and neighbors, they would end up getting a lead that neighbors had actually seen a van patrolling that area on several different occasions. They were able to connect Diane's murder to Maria Del Carmen's because they had both been strangled to death by using a bamboo stick. Now, as something as so specific, I mean, before I've heard of the tourniquet killer, I had never heard of somebody strangling somebody to death with a bamboo stick.
Yeah, that's too, like, specific. It'd be different if it was, like, a belt or, you know, like a string, or not string, but a rope, you know, but bamboo stick, that's so, like, specific.
Yes. So at this point, they're like, okay, we know, they were already kind of hinting around, okay, do we have a serial rapist and killer in our hands in the Houston area? But once they had the two murder cases with the bamboo stick, they're pretty much sold. Okay, we have a serial killer on our hands for sure.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you see how he went back to grabbing them off of the street?
Yep.
And he actually killed her. He went back to something that he was more comfortable with.
Right. So that was a good point that you had right there. And I want to say, like, if I was a police officer, I'd be questioning, okay, what type of person has access to bamboo?
Yeah.
You know, like, what kind of area do you live in? Like, what kind of background would you have if you have bamboo in your home? Like, I would already be, these are like flags to me.
Yeah, because bamboo is like, in Texas, nobody pays attention to bamboo like that.
No. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on. The final victim that we know of was Dana Sanchez. Dana was 16 years old, and on July 6, 1995, Dana was in search of a ride in order to get pretty much from point A to point B. And Anthony saw this, and so he offered her a ride, in which she accepted. So she got into his vehicle, not realizing what his intentions were and that she'd never make it to where she was needing to go. He would end up requesting acts of sexual activity, and Dana denied wanting pretty much nothing to do with that. She did not want to participate in that. Even if she was going to get paid, she was saying no.
She's like, I'm just trying to go home. I do not need this.
I know, especially at this young age.
Yeah.
When she pretty much told Anthony that you're not going to get what you want, it would really make him angry, and he would strangle her to death. No one would discover her body until 7 days later, and that is only because Anthony made an anonymous call to the local news station and gave them directions as to where they would find her body in a Harris County field. Like, this sounds like to me that he thrilled off of his murders being displayed on national TV, that not only the acts he was doing to these girls was a high for him, but so was the publicity. Like, he really enjoyed them being discovered, and that makes sense as to how quickly they were being discovered before his last murder victim, because some of them were being discovered on the very same day.
Yeah, and that happens a lot with serial killers as well. They're so angry that no one is paying attention to them, and no one wants to do anything with them, and no one cares about them, and so they just, like, this is how I can be important because I'm important, and me, and that's why they do things like that.
Oh, yeah, just like BTK.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
With him, that was him, like, to the T. So, for a few years after the last murder victim, they really didn't have any leads. They had that anonymous call, but they couldn't trace it to anybody. They had DNA samples, but couldn't connect them to anyone in the database so far. However, in the year 1998, Anthony would be tried and convicted for the molestation of his own daughters, and as a result, he was mandated to give police a sample of his DNA. In the year 2000, they decided to start off by pulling Maria Del Carmen's cold case off the file rack and test the DNA evidence that was in her file. And this is what brought up a full genetic profile. There were issues at the lab that they began testing it at, and the lab would end up being closed down to an audit, but they didn't let that stop them. Detectives sent the DNA to another testing site, and in 2003, they had a match. Anthony Shore was arrested for the sexual assault and murder of Maria Del Carmen. Whenever he was arrested, they began interrogating him, and he confessed to the murders of Lori Tremblay, Maria Del Carmen, Dana Sanchez, and Diana Ribolar, as well as the rape of Selma Jansky. Police were actually shocked that he was Lori Tremblay's killer, because although she had been strangled, it was with a ligature, not a bamboo stick like the others. When they asked him about this, he replied that the murder of Lori actually hurt his finger, so this is when he decided to switch to the bamboo stick.
Oh, you big old titty baby. Shut up.
When I read this, I was like, you mother effer. Your freaking finger got hurt by hurting somebody else and taking the life from them, that you're like, oh, I'm going to switch to a bamboo stick now. I'm like, really?
No. For stupid. Real? Instead of tourniquet killer, they should have called him baby finger killer. Something stupid like that.
How dumb. When I read that, I was like, are you serious? Like, wow.
I hope he gets his finger smashed every day in hell.
Well, you know, I hope that when he was arrested, they just cut his fingers off so he can never strangle somebody again. So, even though he confessed to all of the murders. He was only tried and convicted for Maria's murder and the rape of Selma, quote, because it contained the most forensic evidence, unquote. Like, what? So it contained the most? Doesn't that mean that the other victims contain evidence as well? Like, what about their justice? That literally makes my blood boil. Like, how are you gonna say because it contained the most forensic evidence? Like, what?
I'm guessing that because it's hard to, because, you know, obviously he's gonna have a defense lawyer and blah 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 because they have to, unfortunately. But I'm wondering if it's because it's almost like if they were to put the other girls in with the trial, it's almost like it would have been a slap in the face for the family if he was proved not guilty for those, because there was not enough evidence. So maybe they're like, we know it's him, and instead of putting the family and making the family go through all of this court situation just to be told that he's not guilty, you know, how about we just keep this here? We know he's guilty. If we find more evidence, we'll put it on him, but we know he's the killer of these girls. If that makes sense.
Yeah, but I feel like it's the way it was worded. Like,
yeah.
Because they said the most evidence. So I'm like, that means if those cases had the most, that means that the other cases had evidence as well.
Yeah, but maybe just not enough.
I don't know, man. Like,
Doesn't make sense, because if he was sexually assaulting all of these women, there had to be enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he was charged with capital murder, and Selma Jansky actually testified against him during the court trial sentencing phase. So she was the only victim that I covered and talked about that actually got up there to talk. Anthony Shore was sentenced to death on November 15th, 2004, and he wouldn't receive the lethal injection until January 18th, 2018. So, like how I had mentioned earlier that people were going back on one of the victims, you know, findagrave.com page and was writing to her, pretty much saying that he's in jail. And this was all, like, they're writing to her all those years later in 2018, which I think was awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And also, Selma is a bad bee for getting up there and saying, you did this to me, and you're going to die because of it.
Exactly.
Period.
Yep, period. So, that pretty much wraps up today's episode, like, in a bow, I guess, if you want to say it like that. I didn't get to cover everything, but I did cover the most important things about the case, about, you know, the victims, and then that sucker is gone. He will never strangle anybody ever again. But what did you think, Shay?
Great job covering it. I do remember this case, but I thought it was interesting. I didn't know about the bamboo part where he was like, oh, well, the rope was hurting my finger, so I'm gonna use bamboo stick. Like, we need to just start making up, like for these people who are, like, the tourniquet killer, we need to make up stupid names for them, because this man here, how are you going to sit there and rape women over and over and over again, and then you're going to cry that your fingers are hurting from killing them?
Exactly. What? We could, like, title this one, the Crybaby Finger Killer.
Yes.
No, oh my god, I can't with this. But, yeah, I totally agree, and I'm just thankful that this case was solved and that, you know, the families received some kind of justice and closure, and he is no longer here.
But he's getting his finger smashed every day in hell, you guys.
Girl, I can't even. Mm-mm. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into another episode. If you could take a minute or two to give us a rating or review, that would be awesome. We really appreciate it, and we love to hear feedback. So even if you want to message us feedback or advice for us, or you love this that we do, we love reading those things from you guys.
Yes.
But as always, watch your back and stay out of dark places, because you never know who's lurking. Bye.
Bye.